there's no better place to be. I don't know how y'all were last night, but guarantee you there's a lot of folks are praying in that direction, wouldn't they? God, just put your sheltering arms about us and help us now as we face these storms and stuff that we go through.
It's one of those things, man, you just got to find yourself in a place, right? And, hey, the best place you can be. Somebody said, well, you know, I could be in a storm shelter, or I could be in a particular type of building and all of that. Well, all right, but if the Lord says it's your day, it's your day. Brother Ronnie's talking about that this morning. It don't matter where you are. When God wants you, He'll get you wherever you are. Amen? But I'm so glad, amen, that you and I can chase after Him. Amen? You and I can chase after Him. Now, we talked this morning, if you take your Bibles again to John chapter 4, we talked this morning about worship. And, of course, that's the whole idea of what we've been reading is the idea of worship. And of course, we know that the lady at the well in John chapter number 4 began a discussion with Jesus. And again, we'll just read in verse number 20. This lady said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say," again, Jesus being a Jew, she says, "We think here is where you worship. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He." Let's have a word of prayer again. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for the good Spirit of God. Thank you for the good songs. Thank you for the ability to come and worship and just think about you and have you in our hearts and on our minds. And I pray that everybody that's come this evening, that's the attitude and the desire that they have. And I pray, Father, we'd just see you now and that we'd worship you in spirit and in truth, and we'd love you and let you love on us, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we began this morning talking about those aspects of worship. And this is not everything. This is just some of the things that I can kind of dig out of these few verses here that we had. But we see some of the aspects of our worship. First of all, you saw that our worship was a social kind of worship. I mean, it takes all of us getting together to worship the Lord. That's the social aspect of it. And then there's the spiritual aspect of it, which is probably the primary and the biggest aspect. It is to be spiritual worship. God is a spirit. God's still a spirit this evening. And again, as I said, I know we have to do things and we have to be as organized and set up and you know, as orderly as we can be. But I'm telling you, God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, you can do that in an organized fashion. You can do that in a step-by-step manner, if you will. But I'm telling you, it better be from in here, not just from out here, okay? I mean, as I say, you've seen people and we all know people and man, they can wear the right clothes. They can put on the attire look. And you know, I got all that. We do that. And even in religion, it's done. And I think a lot of it is in the relationship to what they've seen in the Old Testament. You remember everybody in that day, boy, when they were the leaders in worship, I mean, God told Moses, "Here's what I want Aaron to do. Here's what I want Aaron to wear. Here's what I want Aaron to say. This is where he's got to go. This is the function that he must perform with the blood and all the different things." There were certain steps that they had to take. But every one of those steps pointed to something that you and I will find in Jesus Christ. Every one of those things. And some of you have been through it and studied it maybe back when we had Bible college and did the study on the tabernacle, and you saw all the different parts of it. Maybe when Brother Jason Parrish was here and taught those classes, but you understand that each one of those little things meant something. You know, you're in the inside of the tabernacle, and there's the table of showbread, and there's the candlestick, and there's the altar, and there's the cleansing bowl, and you know, all those things. Every one of those things pointed to Jesus, and every bit of that was meant to be spiritual worship. While they were doing those things, they were to have their hearts and even their thoughts and minds on the Lord. But you know how things go for a lot of us. We just get to being, oh well, let's do this, then let's do this, then let's do this. It just becomes more of a habit than it does anything else. Amen? I mean, we get into the habit of doing this. We get into the habit of doing it. It should be a spiritual experience when you and I come to worship the Lord. Amen? So, social aspect of it, spiritual aspect of it. Let's look at the third one tonight, and let's call that the sincere aspect of it. The sincere. There should be some sincerity in our worship. You know, where do you get that, preacher? Well, there in verse number 23, the Bible said, the Lord speaking, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, now listen to how he uses that word truth, or the word true, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. I mean, there's three times in those couple of verses that Jesus has emphasized it's got to be worship of a sincere heart. When you come to worship, you do it intentionally. When you come to worship God, it's not half-heartedly. It's not, as I say, in sort of a little ritualistic and here we got to do this and then we got to do that and it'll be this step and that step and so on and so forth. It's not that. It is in truth that you are worshiping God. And you know what? There's some days you just might say, well, preacher, I'm just not feeling it. Okay, can I tell you, I have those days too. I mean, every one of us is building to have, and we'll say, well, I really don't feel, well, I'll tell you something. There have been some days I got up here, got ready to preach, didn't really feel like it, but I went ahead and honored God, and you know what? He shows up, and he comes down, and we can worship when we do it in truth. We got to do it. There is a sincerity aspect to this. It's got to be done sincere and in spirit and truth. I want to tell you something about us. If you'll think about this, when you realize who we were and how Paul talks about us over in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2 in the first 4 verses, he talks about how rotten, stinking, and low down we was when we was lost. Amen? He talks about how that we lived our days in the lusts of our flesh and how that we were by our human nature like everybody else out there in the world today. That's who we all were. That's who, what am I saying? I'm saying this. At one time, we were the foes of the truth. You and I we stood against the truth. Amen? I mean, you didn't stand for God. You didn't stand for what's right. You know what you stood for? Me. Oh, number one, you wanted what you wanted. You wanted it when you wanted it, how you wanted it, and you didn't care about all this other stuff, whether it was right or whether everybody thought it was wrong or what. You just wanted what you wanted. You know why? You were a foe of the truth, just like me. I'm talking about every one of us. We were against the Lord. Amen? Why? Because we're the devil's children. Now, I know sometimes we don't like to think about that, but that's exactly what we were. We were the children of the devil. We were the foes of truth. Because see, this word right here is truth. You remember when Jesus is standing before Pilate and Jesus talks about the truth, and Pilate looks at him and he said, what is truth. Pilate is like, you don't know, and I don't know, and none of us know what is truth. And Jesus looked at him, hey, and he told him, man, that he knew the truth. Amen. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. Well, what is the truth? In John 17:17, Jesus is praying in a garden, and he says, Father, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is the only truth that there is. I mean, I know a lot of people today say, well, preacher, what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. You're wrong. There's only one truth. You know? I mean, there's just, you know, there's a lot of times, wouldn't you like to go in the bank and say, hey, I want about $10,000. And they'd look at your bank account and they say, sir, our bank account, our computers show your balance is $200. I don't care. Y'all ain't adding it right. Y'all's math and my math is different. They'd say, but $200, that's the truth. Well, that's your truth. My truth is it's $10,000. See, isn't that the way the world wants it today? I mean, you know, well, now listen, we got folks today that'll jump up and they'll say, well, I feel like I'm a woman today. And they got as much beard as I got. Somebody say amen right there. And I mean, they're out, and they say, well, I'm a woman. Amen. Okay. And then we all got a kowtow to that, right? Well, we don't want to offend more. We don't want to offend. Hey, if you're living in fantasy, you're in trouble. Or if there's some woman over here and she wants to be a man, whatever it is. I'm just telling you, friend, that's my truth. That's my reality. That's what I think. But I'm just telling you, friend, there is an absolute truth. And the absolute truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God will stand forever when everything else falls to pieces. So there is a truth. And look, the Bible says here that God is looking for some folks to worship Him in spirit. We've already talked about that. But we're also to worship Him in truth. In the truth. And He says, look, you and I, we were once the foes of the truth. But now, think about this. When we came and got saved by faith, then we understood the truth. Faith will lead you to the truth. And the truth, as I said, is only found in this book right here. I mean, faith is believing what God said. It doesn't matter about what everybody else said and what some other group has, you know, deemed to be their truth and all that. It matters what God said. God's word is the final authority on truth. And Jesus says, if you're going to worship God, you've got to do it in truth. What does that mean? That means you and I've got to go by the prescribed way of worship that God sets forth. Amen? Now, I mean, we've got all kinds of things today. As I said, you can look on television. You can look at the internet. You can look at all kinds of places, and you'll see all kinds of perverted types of worship. There's people in the day that Paul lived, they frequented the establishments of worship, but there were prostitutes there. And they said, well, we're worshiping. Hey, it's not true. It's not true worship. It's not right. It's not what God has prescribed. So you and I have got to worship, but our worship's got to be found in the truth. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said this. Jesus told him in John 14:6, you know the verses, John 14, verse number 1. He starts out and says, let not your hearts be troubled. Goes on through that. And as he goes through that, he talks about going away and that he's going to come again. And boy, you know, they just can't grab a hold of it. And Jesus tells him, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. What else? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, take that verse of scripture and you'll realize the truth, okay? The truth is this. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, how can we go to God? Well, according to what Jesus says. And he said he's the way. He said, I'm the truth and I am the life. The only way you're getting, he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then I'm telling you, the only way you're getting there, if you're going in a truth system, a true way, it's by him. Amen? I mean, that's just as simple. That's as simple. Anybody can understand that. Oh, but preacher, I'm being a good person. Do you know what? That's not what that verse says. Jesus didn't say, now, all y'all be good people, and when I come again, I'll call you. No, that's not what he said. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. What's the truth? The truth is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He is the only truth that there is. You will not find, you will not know, you'll never come across another truth outside of Jesus Christ himself. He's the truth, the way, and the life. And you ain't getting to heaven but through his way. Amen. That's what he said. He is the truth. So you and I, when we come to him by faith and he saves us, then we are in the truth. We're in the truth. When we do that, then beyond that, you and I, we were foes of the truth. Now we have become to faith as we learn the truth. And then we're to follow him in truth. You know what that means? Whatever he says is the truth. Wherever he may direct our hearts to go is the truth. Whichever thing he impresses on your heart, I'm talking about those are the truth. Everything you read in this book from him that is from him, it's the truth. It's the truth. There is no other truth. See, there's a lot of folks, like I say, they want to, oh, well, that may be true to you. But you know what? We've decided that's not right. We're going to change it. Can I tell you, you can change all you want to. You're not changing the truth. Amen? I mean, hey, we try to do that, don't we? Amen? I mean, we try to change the truth. We try to structure it toward us and how we feel and what we think. But that's wrong. Truth is truth. What God says has stood forever and it will forevermore stand. You're not changing the truth. So he's saying, if you're going to come, you've got to worship him with a sincere aspect. You've got to come before God in truth. You can't come in before God with some kind of put on, as I talked about this morning about the hypocrites. You can't come before God in a hypocrisy. You cannot come before God in I'll pull this over on him. Amen? You know, I've seen people that's tried it before. They'd say, well, preacher, do you know how much money I'm putting in the plate? Can I tell you this? God's not impressed how much money you put in the plate. Amen? Well, preacher, do you know who I am and who my family is? I'm going to tell you, God's not impressed with who you are and who your family is. God's not impressed with who I am and who my family is. Hey, I'm telling you, there's none of those things that you, well, you just don't know where I went to school. It don't matter where you went to school. God's not impressed by what you know, how much you know, or even who you know. God's not impressed. He's impressed by his truth. Amen. And the truth is, the only way you'll get saved is through what he said in his word. Yeah, well, I'm a good person. And I've probably even said that myself. You know, I'm a good person. Can I tell you, God don't judge that way. How does God judge? What kind of truth does God... God uses this right here as his measuring stick. This is the truth from heaven.
This is what God says you got to do, is written down in the pages of this book. And what he said was this: you've got to come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can come. There is no other way. You know, I've heard people tell me, say, well, don't you think that if some of these other folks in other religions, as long as they sincerely believe what they believe, that they're okay? No, they're not. Well, they're sincere, but I guarantee you there's some people right now that are sincere in their Muslim beliefs. They're sincere in their prayers to Allah. They're sincere in their doings for Allah. I mean, some of these folks that go out here and blow themselves up and try to take out as many people as they can, they're sincere in it, but can I tell you, they're sincerely wrong. Amen? It ain't right. It's not the truth of God's Word. And that's what we got to go by. So our worship... our worship has an aspect of it where it's got to be true worship. Got to be true worship. And you see what Jesus says? He said in verse number 23, the true worshipers. If you want to be a true worshiper, you got to worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? So let's look at the last thing and talk about that. There's the sincere aspect of it, the sincerity. But notice also that there is this right here. Verse number 23, he says, but the hour cometh now is when the Father, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Listen, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. There's the seeking aspect of worship. And it's not our seeking. I mean, it eventually will be our seeking. But he said it's the Father that is seeking those that are spiritual, those that are truthful, to worship him. That's what he just said. For the Father seeketh such. What does that mean? Seeketh such. He seeks those that are true worshipers and that are spiritual worshipers. God's looking for those kind of people to worship him. You know, what that tells me is this: can't just anybody come in and say, well, I'm here to worship God. Well, what you got? Well, I mean, I may not come to church. I may be out here living like the devil. But I want to come in here and worship God. Well, brother, I don't tell you, you can worship all you want to. You can pray. You can sing. You can snort. You can do anything you want to do. It doesn't mean God's going to take it. Amen. God's not going to receive the wrong kind of worship. Why? Because it says right there, God seeketh such. True worship, spiritual worship. That's the kind of stuff that God's looking for out of people. Amen? I mean, he's looking for some people that have something about them that says they have a hunger for God. You realize that? I mean, God, listen, God's seeking some spiritual people to worship. And look at that word seeketh. That word seeketh means this in its Greek root. It means to give attention to and priority to and to deliberately pursue after or go in search of something. Do you see that? That means that God is hunting spiritual worship. Now, he's gotten, you know, people say they're worshiping, but you ever read over in the Old Testament? God said, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I'm tired of your burnt offerings. I don't want those things that you bring and those things that you say. I don't want them anymore. Why? Because it's not real. It's, oh, well, I've got to do this. And this is what the priest said. This is what they've done before. Do you know, we come in, now, you say, well, preacher, we live in a different day. Sure we do. But do you know, we can come in, as I said before, we can fake it too. Let me just tell y'all something. A lot of us preachers have got up here and faked it before. Amen? I mean, I know, hey, I'm telling every one of them, if they'll be honest, they'll tell you they've got up and faked it before. I mean, they just didn't feel nothing. They didn't have nothing. And maybe they wasn't right with God. I don't know what. But I'm telling you, all of us have been there. I mean, we just said, well, let's go through the motions. And we've done it.
And you can do it. Amen? But it ain't right. It ain't right. God is looking for some spiritual people to worship Him. He's seeking that. That's exactly what Jesus, He said, God seeketh such to worship Him. I mean, God's tired of people coming and putting on. God's tired of these facades. God's tired of the fake and the hypocrite and the actor. God doesn't care anything about any of that kind of stuff in His church. And you know what? He's not paying any attention to it. I mean, He don't have to put up with that. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Aaron had two sons. And the Bible says that they came into the house of God. And they had brought, the Bible terms it in the King James, strange fire. They brought in some strange fire to offer an incense burnt offering before God. You know what God did? He killed them. Why? Because they weren't doing what they were doing for God. They were doing it to be seen of people. They were doing it because they said, that's good enough. That's gonna, ooh, this will be impressive if we do it this way. And you know, and listen, I don't know about everything that goes on outside these doors. I have trouble keeping up with us sometimes, right? But I know there's folks out there and they're putting on a show. There's places out, you can go to church and they'll put on all kinds of shows. I mean, they'll have great rocking music and they'll have smoke and they'll have mirrors and they'll have flashing lights and they'll have, and you know, if you can get God in that, then by all means have at it. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's just for show. Amen? And I'm not, I don't know all those folks. I promise you, I don't know what they're doing. But I can tell you this, I want something that God said, that's what I'm looking for. Amen. You ever done that before? You ever been looking around? And man, you can go, you go hunting a car. Oh, buddy, I've seen some before that look good on the outside. But when you crank them up, and the salesman say, well, now it sounds like that sometimes. But boy, don't she look good. Yeah, but it only gets about 3 miles a gallon. But man, look at it. It looks good. Amen? It's the same thing. Boy, this looks slick. This looks wonderful. This looks like a production. This looks like whatever it looks like. Isn't that pretty? Oh, but what is in the heart of it? God is seeking some real worship out of me and you. God is hunting worship out of His people. Amen. I mean, he's looking for the worship. Let me tell you, Jesus said this in Luke chapter number 19 when he seen Zacchaeus. Remember the story about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus climbed up a tree and you know, he's looking for Jesus. And Jesus sees him, tells him to come down and he's going to bow to his side. And at the end of that story, it says this, that of course, the Pharisees and the scribes and all that bunch, they're, oh, well, look what he's doing. He's going off with another one of them publicans, and he's going home with him. All that, right? And Jesus says this. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I tell you, Jesus is looking for lost folks. God is hunting for lost sinners. I mean, the Lord is on the look for some lost folks so He can save them. Amen? I mean, He's looking for lost folks. Before you got saved, can I tell you, and if you can't remember, think back on it. I mean, I remember how the Holy Ghost got after me and He hunted me down. He was on my trail. Why? Because I was lost. But can I tell you this? I got in that church and I tried to look as saved as any saved person in the building. I could smile and I could even sing a few songs along with them in the choir and I could nod my head and I could grin and I could look pretty and good and everything. I was lost on the inside. Oh, I might have fooled some of the crowd, but I didn't fool the Lord. And He saw me when I was lost. He knew the stench and the rottenness down in my heart. He knew who I was. And He sent Jesus I mean, hey, to die for me. And the Holy Ghost come hunting for me. Thank God, I'm glad he found me. Amen. I mean, God's, and you know what? When he found, I'm going to tell you something. I've never been perfect any day since then. I'm not perfect. But I want to tell you something. I want to know more about him. I want to, you know what Paul says over in the book of Philippians when he's talking about himself? He says, brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he said, to apprehend something means to take hold of it. He said, I really hadn't got a hold of this like he's got a hold of me. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he said, I ain't grabbed a hold of it, but I'm pressing that way. I want to get a hold of it. Don't you? I mean, he's got a hold of you. He saved you from hell, and now I want to get a hold of all I can of him. I want to worship him. I want to. I want to. I want to. You know, there's that great struggle that Paul talks about in Romans chapter number 7 about how that we got our flesh and we got our spiritual man, and they're always fighting and having, and it's going to be whichever one you let win, whichever one you feed the most, whichever one you let take over. Thank God it's going to win. But you know what we do too many times? We let the old natural man get fed the most, right? We let him get most of that, but I'm telling you, he is looking for those that are lost, and he'll save them. But not only is he looking for those that are lost, I want to tell you this. He's looking for those that are longing for him. Over in the book of Psalms, let's flip over there if you want to, in Psalm number 42. Psalm number 42, and you don't have to, you can listen to me read it. Psalm 42, 1 starts out like this. David writes this, and it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What he's saying is this, like, and that word hart, H-A-R-T, it means the deer. Like a deer is longing for a good drink of water because it's been out running. It's been on the run from the hunters. It's been on the run from those pursuing whatever it is. Hey, it's looking for a good drink of water. You ever feel like that? This world's been after you. This world's hammered you. This world's working on you. And you get thirsty and say, oh God, I need a good drink of water from heaven. Your heart begins to long. Your soul begins to say, God, I just need you. I need you. I need you. I don't want no more of this junk. I don't want no more of this trash. I don't want no more of this world. I just want you. I just want you. Buddy, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody that's longing to worship him. Can you hear that from the psalmist there? He said, just like that deer is looking for a good cold drink of water. He said, my soul longeth for thee. I'm looking for God. Do you know, I think that's where we are today. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten how to long after him. Oh, listen. I don't know. My brother Logan sings that song sometimes about he walks with me and he talks with me. But, you know, in the beginning of that song, it said that I go to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses. In other words, go real early in the morning, right? And here we are together, me and the Lord. We're just sitting and talking, and we're having a conversation. Man, I'm telling you, isn't that just what your heart longs for so many times? This world's out here, and it's telling you, oh, you know, evil and wicked and death and destruction and drugs and drinking and lying and cheating and all that stuff. It's all around us. And I want to tell you, sometimes I just get sick of it, don't you? I get tired of it. I don't want that. No. And all of a sudden, there's something that yearns in my heart that said, God, I just need you. I want you. I want you to come down and just visit with me. Amen. Hey, that's what God said. He seeketh such to worship him. Those souls that are longing for God. You get to a place where you want him and he wants you.
And buddy, you get that together, you've got something, haven't you? I mean, you get to a place where you come together with him and woo, I mean, you can have meeting then. Amen? And like I said this morning, when you get a group, when you get that social aspect of worship, and you get a bunch of people together that are wanting God, and then you begin to see God move, you know what? You get in a group like that, and it ain't no big I's and little U's. It's just we're in here to worship the Lord. We have come, as the little song sings sometime with the kid, we have come to worship the Lord. Amen. We just came to worship him. Well, who's leading the worship? I don't care who's leading it. I don't care who's singing. I don't care who's playing. I don't care who's preaching. I just want to worship the Lord. Amen. I just want him to come on in here and help us. Amen. Amen. We need him. We need him. Can I tell you, buddy, our country needs him today more than it's ever needed him. We need him. Woo, but you know what? It's a furthest thing from most people's minds. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, they want somebody. They want some man. They want some figure. They want some leader. They want, you know, whatever. But I'm telling you, we need him. If we could just sit down with him. As I said, go back to that song. In the garden. And in the chorus, it says, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Can I tell you, when you get there with him and you're able to connect and worship with him, I mean, nobody else know. You know, you can be in a service. I've been in some services, and people start shouting and start getting, and hey, I'm all for it. I'm voting in favor of that. Amen. If y'all get a shout, come on, you go ahead. It's all right, right? But I'm saying, when somebody else is shouting, you know what? Woo, I like it. I mean, they're shouting. And I know generally, I'm pretty sure they've got hooked up with something. Amen. I mean, God's doing something for him. Like I was telling you this morning about that preacher. I mean, he stood up and he was going to testify about whatever he'd been praying about. And all they could do is stand there and weep. I've got that. I've had that experience before. I've stood up and I've tried to say something, and all of a sudden it'd just be tears. And I couldn't tell you. Amen. I remember one story from long ago. Brother Larry Underwood was our pastor, and he'd been, you know, preaching on some things about the Lord and been praying and seeking God. And he said he got up one morning and he took his kids to school. He said he took kids over to school, dropped them off. He said, and on the way back home, he was just praying and thinking about God and, you know, just kind of having him a little worship service there in his car, and God just got in his seat with him. He said, all of a sudden, he said, whoa, man, it just got on right there in the car. And he said, boy, I just didn't know what to do. He said, I ran in the house when I got home. He looked at his wife, Nola. He said, Nola. He said, it happened. And she looked at him and said, what happened? He said, I don't know, but it happened. Amen. I'm just telling you, when God gets all over you, and I mean, it gets thick and it gets rich and it gets chocolate and delicious, buddy. I'm telling you, hey, it's God good. I'm telling you, when he comes in there, you don't know what to do. I've been in, and somebody look at me, they look at me in service before, say, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Amen. I'm going to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. Because folks are worshiping him. They've got a longing. There is a longing on the inside of us that seeks him. Now, you know what we do sometimes? You ever been there? Oh, heavenly day. Don't ask her up there. I get up, I go to the cabinets. She'll say, why are you hunting? I don't know. Go open the refrigerator, go open cabinets, go in the pantry. I mean, I go, why are you hunting? I have no idea. Because I don't know what I want, don't know what, you know, it's when you've been there and you think, well, this sounds pretty good, but nah, I don't think so. And well, maybe, no, that ain't going to. I mean, sometimes you just can't find it, right? I think that's the way we are in our lives, and we try everything or we think about everything, and what we really need is him.
We need, the Bible tells us just to be still and know that I am God. Oh, David writes again and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. And forget not all of his benefits unto me. Boy, aren't you glad he does that stuff for you? And you don't even know what to do about it, but you just have a longing for him. You're wanting him. So, you know, he's wanting folks to come worship him. He seeks and finds the lost. He wants to fellowship with those that are longing for him. And then I just want to tell you this, he's looking. He's looking for the lost. He's looking for those that are longing for him. And then he's just looking for the love that you and I can give him. Do you know that's what God's looking for? Oh, can I tell you, sometimes when your kids come in and they just say, Daddy, Mama. And you know what? Sometimes they don't want anything. They just want you. They want to sit there in your lap and hug on you. And snuggle with you. And I mean, they don't want that. They didn't say, I want a cookie or I want to go get ice cream. No, they just want you. Boy, can I tell you, that's what God's looking for. He's just wanting some of us to love on him. And he's wanting to love on me and you. He just wants to love you this evening. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways I think you and I can do it is through our worship of the Lord. I believe you and I do that. And listen. Over in 1 John, in the little Johns, if you want to jump over there with me, I'm gonna look in 1 John, excuse me, chapter number 4. John writes, and if you remember, John writes a whole lot of stuff and talks about love a whole lot, doesn't he? But look in 1 John chapter number 4 and look at verse number 7. John says, he says, beloved, let us love one another. For listen, he said, love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Woo, aren't you glad he loved us? He loved me before I loved him. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. And he said, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's the second time he said that. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. He said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Listen, we love him because he first loved us. We just love him. And you know why we love him? Because he loved us. You ever just sit there, like I say, with your kids, and you look at them and you know, and you tell that child and say, I want you to know something. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen. I remember Brother Larry talking about when his grandkids was born. And he said, boy, when they was little, when they was just first born, he'd lean over and whisper in their ear and tell them that he loved them and that Jesus loved them more. Woo, can you imagine that? I mean, you're sitting there with that precious little bundle of your love and you're loving on them and you're thanking God. And buddy, don't it just do something to you? I mean, don't it just, woo, it just gets all over you. Amen? I know I told one of my daughter-in-laws when our first granddaughter was born. And I'm telling you, I mean, I've only got about a kabillion pictures to prove it. But man, we loved her. And then, guess what? Number 2 came along. And then that same family that had the first one had the third one. And when she came along, I went and told my daughter-in-law. I was talking to her, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I said, I'm terribly afraid that I won't love this baby like I do that one, the oldest one. And she looked at me and she smiled. She said, Poppy, don't worry about it. You'll love her just the same. I said, you think so? She said, oh, yeah, you will. You'll love. Aren't you glad? God don't have no favorites. God loves you just like he loves me, just like he loves her, just like he loves him. God just loves us all the same. Woo! God loves us. He don't have none that's out there and say, well, you know, I love them better. No, sir. I'll tell you this. You read that story of the prodigal son, and I know that father ran down that road, and he loved that boy that had been in the hog pen. But he had another son at home. You know what he told him? He said, son, that boy got all tore up about what had happened. And he said, son, you're ever with me. You've been here the whole time. And I want you to know, you could have had anything you want. I love you just like I love him. I'd have given you anything that I've given. Sure, you're the one that's putting the brakes on this deal. Can I tell you, sometimes me and you are the ones putting the brakes on it. God is seeking. You know what we do? Oh, God ain't going to like what I done this week. Oh, no. God won't. Boy, I've messed up, and God's probably going to put me something, you know, put me in timeouts, what we think. But can I tell you, he'll sit you right there in his lap. He'll love on you. And he'll say, I want you to know I love you. Oh, I don't like what you did, and I don't like the way. But I want to tell you, I love you. He just kiss you on the head. Just wrap you up in those arms and say, you know what? I still love you. No matter what you've done, you're still my child. Woo! He's seeking. God's seeking those spiritual and those true worshipers to come to him. Because he just simply wants to love on you. He just wants to love you this evening because you're his. You belong to him. Boy, that's just a few of the little things that I found in these verses about our worship of the Lord. Are you worshiping him tonight? Don't you just wish you could? There's been times that I just wish I could take a little time out and sit down and say, God, really need to talk to you. You know what he does then? I'm right here. He just sits down there beside you. He'll put those arms around you. He'll say, what do you need to talk about? Say, God, I've just got, boy, there's something that's just troubling. If it's troubling you, it's troubling me. But I can love you even though you got problems, even though you got burdens and care. I'm still here for you. You know that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He just wants you to worship him tonight. Amen? Would you do that? Would you just say, God, I'm ready to worship. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to have a song. God's looking for some worshipers. He's looking for us to worship together as a group. And I believe we ought to do that. I believe that there is that social aspect. He's wanting us to do it in a spiritual manner. I believe, according to the Bible, that's the only way you can do it.